You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 158. Today's episode is all about now. As we head into summer, this is a sort of state of New Orleans, a combination of things I'd do if I was visiting and or things to know. The last show was all about my new book, a travel guide called Beyond Bourbon Street, An Insider's Guide to New Orleans. Along with James Cullen, I spoke about how the book came about and what you can expect to find in it. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. Support comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. Their current exhibit, Making Mardi Gras, runs through May 8th, so you have just a couple days left to see it. The show-stopping display invites visitors into the sprawling dens, the late-night sewing sessions, and sweaty dance rehearsals where the greatest free show on earth is created and recreated each year among the city's diverse communities. A second exhibit focuses on Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire. 75 years ago this year, Tennessee Williams' A Streetcar Named Desire premiered on Broadway. It was the first performance, the first performance received a 7-minute standing ovation, and the play has virtually never disappeared from stage since. Backstage at Streetcar combines selections from the TNOC's wide-ranging Tennessee Williams holdings, many of them seldom displayed, along with loans from several other museums. Visitors can read director Eliza Kazan's stage notes, listen to a rare recording of the original Broadway production, enjoy interpretations of the play in popular culture, and see photographs and other items from different productions around the world. The exhibit continues until July 3rd, 2022. So go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip today. Today's episode is also sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. You can find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. We have perks at all levels, and if you join at the $10 level or higher, we'll mention you on an episode. As I mentioned, I have a book, The Beyond Bourbon Street Insider's Guide to New Orleans, officially released on May 1st. You can find it online at major retailers like Amazon, Bookshop, Barnes & Noble, and more. In New Orleans, Garden District Bookshop, Octavia Books, Blue Cypress have it, as well as the OW, a store located at 2850 Magazine Street. It's owned by our partners at The Occasional Wife, and the OW has a large supply of books in stock, probably the largest in the city. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, I think 10 to 6, and so definitely call a bookstore or call before you stop in, but the OW has 100 copies. So that's the place to go right now if you want to be sure to get one. If you love the show, the podcast, in New Orleans, please consider picking up a copy. And again, for more information on the book, check out episode 157. All right, now let's get on to today's topic. This list of 7 or so things I'm going to talk about is based on the most frequent questions I've been getting lately, either directly in my IMs or by email, or that are showing up in our Facebook group, the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew. They're not really in any order, and some of them are a bit of a downer, but what I'm trying to do is kind of paint a picture of the city right now, some things that are going on, as well as things that I would do and reasons I would come to visit. First up, we get a lot of questions about COVID protocols. So the mayor removed the mask mandate shortly after Mardi Gras. So you're no longer required to wear a mask when you go indoor places, except for like healthcare places like hospitals and doctors' offices. My experience has been, for the most part, no one is asking for vaccine cards, although I have run into one or two restaurants in the last, say, 3 or 4 weeks that have asked for it. So if you have a vaccine card, or you have like an electronic app that shows your vaccine status, I would definitely bring it on a visit. But for the most part, you're not going to run into any questions about masking or vaccines. We still make the kids take a mask with us wherever we go, and we bring masks just in case, or in case we get in a situation where we feel like it's really crowded and maybe a mask would make us feel better. But in general, the rating of the parish is low in terms of COVID, if you look on the national websites. And so, so far, that seems to be going well. One of the things that'll be interesting is we just had French Quarter Fest, and as I record this, we just had the first weekend of Jazz Fest. So we'll see if either of those become super spreader events. Hopefully they don't. Obviously, they're both outdoor, primarily outdoor events. But, you know, we get a lot of questions about what's going on with masking, what's going on with vaccination, proof of vaccination, that sort of thing. And so for the most part, I don't think you'll run into anything. I just tend to be on the safe versus sorry side. So again, if you are vaccinated and you have a card, I would bring it with you. I would maybe bring a mask. But again, I can't remember the restaurant. It's happened once or twice in the last 3 weeks or so since the protocols have been lifted that I have been asked. And obviously, I think that's probably the right of the restaurants to still put in place whatever, you know, whatever restrictions they want. But it's far and few between. And one of the other things we're going to get to in a little bit also kind of addresses that. The second big thing, and this is a big one, is that restaurants and businesses have shorter hours. Their offerings are changing all the time. There's longer waits. So my really strong advice is call ahead. Marie and I have the opportunity to sometimes go out for lunch, and we have, even though I'm giving you this advice, several times in the last 2 or 3 weeks gone to some place that we knew was open from experience only to find that the hours had changed and it was closed. And that includes looking on websites. So it really behooves you to not just look it up on the internet, but to actually call a place if you're thinking about going. One particular restaurant that we really enjoy, the hours have changed several times in the last few weeks in terms of days of the week, whether they're serving lunch or only dinner. Other places we've seen have had to limit the offering of food, either because of food costs or just because of staffing and having to kind of shrink down the menu. So it's something you really want to pay attention to, kind of along those lines. And I can't emphasize this enough. If there is a place that you really want to eat, call ahead and make reservations and do that further in advance than you have done it before. So if you know that you're coming in 3 months, I would reach out to wherever it is, let's say Brightson's, and see if you can make a reservation early. Again, because of all the things that I'm talking about, shorter hours, hard to find staff, some menu items are difficult to find or too expensive to put on the menu. All of that is really driving demand and probably pent-up demand, right, from people not being able to get out in a long time. So places that we normally would have easily been able to get into or that people I see in the Facebook group normally have no problem making a reservation a week out, all of a sudden you're looking at 6 weeks or 2 months. So, you know, as you read my book, as you plan your trip, again, those places that are a little bit nicer that you want to make sure that you get into, go ahead and make those reservations really early. And then again, day to day, I can't emphasize enough, make sure you make a phone call twice. And again, I do this, right? I do this regularly with the podcast and the book. Twice in the last 2 weeks, Marie and I have decided to go out for lunch at the last minute, and both times had to go to 3 or 4 places, even though I looked on websites. So I'm telling you this to say, don't do what I've done. Do what I'm telling you to do. Stop and make a phone call and see if they're open. Just because the Google Maps or the website says that they're open doesn't mean that they're open if they've made a change for whatever reason. And along with that, and I imagine this is going on all over the country and maybe all over the world, lots of places are posting signs that are saying, look, please be patient with us. We're having a shortage of staff. We've seen that a lot. You know, this, again, we just finished the first weekend of Jazz Fest. We went out a couple times for dinner after Jazz Fest, and places had those kind of signs up. You know, my advice is be patient, be understanding. Menu items aren't always on the menu. We were at Giacomo's the other night, a place that I really love and especially love coming off of Jazz Fest. And some of their longtime items weren't on the menu. And I assume that's just because of shortage or pricing or you know, something like that. And so you just kind of got to be willing to roll with it. Things are just different right now. You know, some of the things I'm going to talk about, including those, are kind of sobering. So let me switch it up a little bit. Again, I'm recording this in the week between the two weekends of Jazz Fest. We just had a fabulous French Quarter Festival with terrific music and terrific weather. By all accounts, it was a success. Hopefully, it was not a super spreader event. I got out one evening and just had a wonderful time, and it was so good to be back out. You know, and if you're listening to this week, maybe some of you are coming in for the second week of Jazz Fest. The first week was really good. It was a little bumpy because they hadn't done it in a couple years, so they had some trouble in terms of getting people through efficiently. But, you know, I think that's just the way it goes. But what I wanted to point out is that, and again, another plug for the book, I talk about some of this. This is really heading into the heart of festival season. You know, if you're listening to this now and you're not coming to Jazz Fest and you're thinking, oh gosh, I'm missing out, we're headed into just, you know, prime festival season beyond the French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest. There's things like Wednesdays at the Square, at Lafayette Square, which are a lot of fun, free concerts. Really one of my insider tips. If you're ever in town on a Wednesday, it's after work hours, it's free, it's right on the streetcar line, it's in the Central Business District. They have a great musical lineup. In fact, I was looking, and I think every one of the performers scheduled this year will have either played at French Quarter Fest or Jazz Fest or both. And it's an opportunity to see them for free. You get some of the same vendors, food vendors. You know, there's fewer. There's maybe 8 or 10. There's an art market there. It's a good place, again, either after work or if you're visiting, just to go over for an hour or two, get some food, grab a drink. It's crowded, but not crazy crowded, and it's really centrally located, so you can leave there pretty easily and either get to a hotel or get to a place for dinner if you don't take advantage of the food vendors there. So a lot going on there. Bayou Boogaloo is a very popular festival right along Bayou St. John. That's coming up. We have Greek Fest. We have the Creole Tomato Festival in the French Quarter. And then as we head to July 4th, we have Essence Fest. And I'm sure I'm missing some. Those were just some that jumped out at me. And, you know, for the most part, we have festivals that run all through the summer. So if you're hearing about and seeing things on social media or hearing me talk about Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest and thinking that you've missed out, you really haven't. Lots of festivals that are either free or very, very inexpensive and kind of cover the city. So, you know, that's a really fun thing to do. And this is the time for it. You know, we're getting into the weather's getting hotter, of course, so you sort of have to just deal with that a little bit. But a lot of good festivals with a lot of good music. And again, I just mentioned this, but the French Quarter Festival is almost solely devoted to local artists. I think it's like 99% New Orleans and or Louisiana artists. Jazz Fest, of course, has the big acts to help pay for the smaller acts. So you get, you know, artists from all over the country, and then you get the really, really big acts, the Who, the Foo Fighters. This year it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, things like that. But many, there's a big overlap of local artists performing at both, and many of those local artists also perform at these smaller festivals. So the quality of the music and the entertainment is really high. So I can't emphasize that enough. Lots of great festivals to build a weekend around or a long weekend. Again, the Wednesday at the Square is really great. So we're headed into the heart of festival season. Kind of at the same time, we're in the heart of the second line parades. So on most Sundays, there are second lines. The best way to find out about them is the WWOZ website, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes, which will be over at beyondbourbonst.com/158. But that's a ton of fun. If you've never experienced the second line in New Orleans and you're here on a Sunday, that's well worth going to do for an hour or two and just get to experience what that's all about. So between the festivals and the second lines, you know, I think that more than offsets the heat. Understanding if you're coming from somewhere pretty temperate, you know, you got to be prepared and all those things that we've talked about on the show. And again, I keep mentioning the book, but these are the kind of tips that I give you in the book. Be prepared for the weather, that sort of thing. You know, the other thing is we're here in early May. you don't get to the heart of the summer here, the hottest time, until August and September. And so, you know, these festivals that I mentioned leading up into July with Essence Fest, this is a good time where you're definitely going to get some heat. You're definitely going to get some humidity, but it's not the worst of the worst in terms of that. So really still a good time to visit. Kind of changing topics a little bit to something more sobering. One of the questions I am getting all the time, and particularly people are sending me direct messages because they don't want to post for whatever reason in the Facebook group, is crime. Is it worse? Should I visit? I can tell you that it feels like crime has gotten worse. The big thing right now are there's been a rash of carjackings. Now, in the last couple weeks, that has slacked off a little bit, but obviously that's a really serious, violent thing. There have been some really tragic, no carjacking is minor, of course, but there have been some tragic carjackings where one woman in particular lost her life as a result of being carjacked. I can tell you that we live in the heart of the city, and it's a discussion that we've had with our 10-year-old kids about being prepared and being aware and what do you do. And that's, on the one hand, a terrible thing to have that kind of discussion with your kids. You know, it's about being prepared and being aware. Again, I don't know what's caused it, and I don't know that the city has an answer. You know, I think it's a serious thing. And so that's one thing. There's no way to sugarcoat it. That's probably the thing that's been in the news the most, are these carjackings, and the thing that has really made people uncomfortable, you know, particularly residents. The second thing in terms of crime is, as I record this, there was a shooting at a bar on Magazine Street over the weekend. A pretty popular bar, a bar that I would recommend, and a bar that's really close to a lot of places that we recommend, like Joey K's and Flirty Girl and NOLA T-Shirt Club of the Month, one of our sponsors, and the OW, which I just mentioned, in a good area, an area that's, you know, a place we frequent. It appears, as news reports are coming out, that it was probably gang-related, and that someone spotted someone in that area and decided to attack them. And unfortunately, there were bystanders that were hurt, that were shot. So I say all this to say, is crime worse? I think it feels, particularly because of the carjackings, that crime is a little worse than it's been. At the same time, and I'm in no way trying to make light of this, New Orleans is a big city. I think that if you come and you take the typical precautions that we always advise, you know, be aware of your surroundings. Don't go into areas that are quiet or sort of seem lonely at night by yourself. It's always better to be with someone. Keep the valuables on you to a minimum. For women, either try not to carry a purse and to keep things in front pockets, or to carry something small that you can wear across your shoulder, across your chest. Do advise using Lyfts and ride shares, you know, Lyft, Uber, whatever it might be, to get to places, particularly later in the evening. You know, a lot of people choose to stay in the Marigny or the Bywater, which are perfectly fine. But maybe if you've walked to the quarter during the daytime, you might want to consider taking a ride share on the way back. You know, it's a sobering thing to say. My gut feeling is crime has gotten a little worse, but it's sort of targeted crime. In both of these instances, this carjacking spree seemed to be, I don't know if it was all related, but it seemed to come on very strong, really panicked a lot of people, really made us nervous, seems to have eased off. Obviously, the police made it a focus. I know that they've arrested some people. The shooting at this bar also really shook people because, again, it's a really popular bar. It's not, it's a place, again, that I've been to, that I would recommend people go to, a spot that I feel like is fine. So that's pretty sobering, but I think to kind of summarize, yes, it feels like crime is a little worse. I also feel like it's still okay to visit. It's just about being aware of your surroundings. And of course, many of you who are visiting aren't coming in cars, although some of you are. You know, this is a really walkable city. It's pretty easy to get an Uber or a Lyft. You can take public transportation like the streetcar to get around. Those of you that have listened for a long time know that, you know, so much of what you want to do is walkable, either if you're in the French Quarter or the Central Business District or the Marigny or the Bywater or the Treme, and most other things you can get to on a streetcar. So, you know, that minimizes the time you're going to spend in a car. And the shooting, frankly, just seems pretty random, and I don't know how you defend against that in any city, much less New Orleans. So that's a pretty sobering thing, but I'm getting that question a lot. You know, my advice is you obviously have to make your own decisions, but we are, what I can tell you is we are still out. We're out with the kids. We're out as a couple. We are enjoying the city. I was trying to think last night. I think I have probably been in 7 or 8 unique neighborhoods in the last 2 weeks for various events. I've felt fine. I have, you know, made a point of being aware when I'm getting into the car, but, pretty diverse areas across the city I've been in and really, you know, felt okay. Just try to be aware. Let's see. And I promise that this won't all be a downer, but the next thing I wanted to address is Airbnbs, because this is coming up an awful lot in the Facebook group. I even dedicate a bit of time, maybe a page in the book about Airbnbs. So I want to talk about why is it a big deal and maybe how to do it right, in my opinion. It's a big deal in New Orleans because, frankly, I don't think the city did a good job when Airbnb sort of took off here in the city of regulating it. And so what happened is in a couple areas, particularly the French Quarter and the Marigny, which is adjacent to the French Quarter downriver just a bit, you had investors buying up properties. And so they were essentially remote landlords. So what happens is all of a sudden, you don't have a neighborhood anymore. You don't have a community. You just have a bunch of investment properties. People are coming in and renting these properties, and there's no one local there. And so it's doing two things. It's destroying the neighborhood feel, right? Because there's no neighborhood. There's just essentially a hotel, if you will. And the second thing it's doing is there, like in many places in the country, there's a real affordable housing crisis here. And so all of the tourists, you know, all of the tourism and the service industry and the infrastructure requires people, of course. Well, the fewer properties there are to rent, then the higher the rents are for people in the service industry who can't afford the high rents, and there's fewer property and greater demand. And so it's causing a real crisis in that it's pushing those people further and further away. I think people don't realize that it was pretty affordable to live, if not in the French Quarter, to live in the Marigny and the Bywater and the Treme and the surrounding areas. And so if you worked in the service industry in the French Quarter, you could live really close by and you could walk or you could ride a bike to work, and housing was affordable. But now there is greater demand and fewer stock of traditional rentals because of Airbnbs. So that's a problem. The city addressed, now, gosh, I get confused with COVID, but a couple years ago, the city reversed course and said, okay, you can't have Airbnbs in the French Quarter. So that did a couple of things. All of a sudden, it created a kind of a glut on the market. Now, the people that own those wanted top dollar, and so they were selling them largely. And so on the one hand, it, air quotes, fixed the Airbnb problem in the French Quarter. It didn't really fix the affordable housing problem in the French Quarter, but there are no legal Airbnbs in the French Quarter. However, that is not the case in the Marigny. And the Marigny is the area I believe has probably been most affected. The issue is that you have some investors who have bought up essentially a whole block and made it Airbnbs, and they don't live there, and it's remote. And so what happens is there's no longer really a neighborhood feel. You know, there might be a person left on the block or two people who live there, have lived there a long time, but they're now surrounded essentially by a hotel, if you will. So again, this really gets to the affordable housing. It gets to, you know, people like to go to Airbnbs because you like to be part of a neighborhood. And all of a sudden, you're not really in a neighborhood. You're in a community of Airbnbs, if you will. And that's caused a lot of problems, again, getting back to the rent and also the tension of long-term, you know, the frustration of long-term residents. My advice, I'm not going to tell people not to stay in Airbnbs. We certainly have used Airbnbs across the country. I understand, particularly if you have a large group, you have a family, you're for an extended stay. There's a lot of reasons that it makes sense, right? There's a lot of really great hotels in the city. And I also get that sometimes renting a house makes sense. What I would suggest is that you rent an Airbnb, a property from someone who also lives on site. So in the area particularly that I'm talking about, the Marigny and the Bywater, there are lots of doubles. So, two residences under one roof. And a lot of times you'll find that an owner lives on one side and rents out the other side. Sometimes you'll find an area where the owner lives either next door or in an adjacent property. So what I would suggest you do is that you just do a little bit of research as you're looking for an Airbnb, if that's the way you're going to go, that you look to see is the owner on site. And I would just recommend that you consider one of those properties as opposed to one where the owner is living in a different state, and is just like an absentee landlord. If you will. And so I think, again, I don't want to say don't stay in an Airbnb. There are also in those same areas some really good, there's the R&B Bed and Breakfast on Frenchman Street, which is really cool and funky. There's the Hotel Peter and Paul. There are several other properties being developed. Obviously, I've been a big fan of the old 77 Hotel in the CBD. Again, I keep talking about the book. Talking about the book because I'm excited about it, but I list a bunch of properties kind of at different price levels and in different parts of the city that I think are worth checking out. And there's more every day, really at all price points. But again, my advice is I'm not going to tell you not to stay in an Airbnb. I'm just going to say consider spending a little time figuring out whether the owner lives on site. And I would encourage you to patronize those folks over the sort of absentee landlord situation. And again, that seems to be worse from my perspective in the Marigny. I'm sure it's happening in the Treme, in the Bywater. And I get it. I get the reason why someone wants to stay in an Airbnb. Just also know that there is a social impact. There's a way to do it right, in my opinion. And that's what I wanted to share with you on that part of it. All right, again, and I'm jumping all over the place because I just kind of took this list of things that just keep popping up. This next one, number six, is about outdoor dining and drinking. And this kind of gets to the COVID thing. People were asking a lot, about vaccine status and about, regardless of that, I don't feel comfortable eating inside, those sorts of things. And one of the, I'm sure this has happened nationwide, if not worldwide, I think New Orleans has embraced outdoor dining, and that's a tricky thing, right? Because it gets hot here, hot and humid, obviously, and it does so for months at a time. But there are lots of places that now have really great outdoor spaces. I was making a partial list, and I don't know if it's because of what was on my mind or where I've been lately, but a lot of these are bars or brew pubs. Parlo, which is, to my mind, one of the very best microbreweries in the city over in the Bywater, has a really nice kind of funky outdoor space. They've expanded it. In fact, they've, I think, tried to minimize their indoor space is small, and they've tried to minimize, I think, customers being inside. They have some covered areas, if it's sunny, they have some areas just kind of out. The Avenue Pub, one of my favorite bars in the city, run by a friend, Polly Watts, who was a former guest on the show, right on St. Charles Avenue. They have an outdoor patio in the back. They have indoor space downstairs, and they just announced that they are reopening their balcony upstairs, which when the weather's nice is lovely. I think they have like sails or umbrellas up there too to kind of moderate the heat. But even on the days when it's hot, usually by the early evening, it breaks enough to make it tolerable if you're properly dressed. When it's August and September, it's just hot most days. But that's a great spot because they have, you get a little bit of breeze on the balcony, you get a nice view of St. Charles Avenue and the streetcars coming by. Pizza Delicious and Bracciol are two places in the Bywater. They're side by side, they share a wall. They both have really nice outdoor space. Pizza Delicious has great sort of New York style big slice pizza. Brachal is a German beer hall with just a tiny, they both have tiny indoor spaces anyway, but they have both expanded their outdoor space, at least in the last year, maybe longer. Really good places to be outside. Port Orleans Uptown, again, another microbrewery, has a really great courtyard, and they also have, they have like garage doors, so they can kind of open up the whole space so that even the indoor space is mostly open and covered, but they have a lot of space in the side yard with tables, and I think they have cornhole and, you know, some games and things like that. Barracuda comes to mind, a really good sort of authentic Mexican taco place. Lots of shaded outdoor. In fact, there is no indoor there at Barracuda on Chapultepec. Lots of good outdoor space, which also makes it good for bringing kids. On Ferret Street is Val's, another sort of Mexican-ish place with lots of outdoor seating and lots of covered outdoor seating. And I could go on and on. In fact, if I were rewriting the book now, I would probably put a section about outdoor dining and how that has changed in New Orleans. I think for so long, we didn't have much outdoor dining because of the heat, right? But then when COVID came along, restaurants and bars had to adapt, and they did adapt. And so far, it seems like most of them have not only stuck with it, but have expanded it. And I think that's really worked. Again, we'll see how it is, you know, as we get into July, August, September. But we've been outside quite a bit. Some days are hot. We're already in the mid to upper 80s a lot of days. Some days we're touching on high humidity. Just Saturday, my wife and I, Marie, spent a little bit of time at the Crescent City Brew House. And it was a hot day, but they have a nice balcony upstairs. It's shaded, so you get a view of the French Quarter, and they have a lot of live music. So there's live music playing. You know, it was definitely in the 80s, but it was comfortable. So a lot of ways to combat the heat a little bit. I mention all the time my sponsor, or one of my sponsors, is the Historic New Orleans Collection, a great place to duck in when you do need to get out of the heat. It's free. There's a lot of exhibits, both permanent and temporary. And you could do that in the French Quarter, right? You can either go to a small museum, one of the free ones, or the Louisiana State Museum system. You can go into the Cabildo and the Presbyter. And that's sort of a way to do this, right? Is to sort of balance. And I think we've done an episode previously about that, but it's a way to balance the heat. So, you know, you're outside for a little while, go inside for a little while. But the outdoor dining and drinking is something people have asked me about. I think it's here to stay. Again, I don't remember last year, like so many of us, you know, with the 2 years of the pandemic, time just sort of fades together. I know that we ate outside last year. I'm sure we did. We didn't go out as much, but it just strikes me, again, I mentioned, I think I've been in 7 or 8 neighborhoods in the last 2 weeks. I've eaten out a lot for lunch and dinner, in part for research and in part just because that's where I was. And I would tell you that new outdoor spots are popping up at existing places all over. And I think that's really great. Again, it's never going to be as temperate as it is in some, you know, let's say in some place like in places in California. But I think that that's kind of a whole sub-scene of the dining and drinking that didn't exist before COVID in the way it exists in New Orleans now. And restaurants and bars have gotten really creative. Some of them have misters. They have the either tents or the canopies, the sails, you know, or traditional umbrellas, but a lot of opportunity to get it, to be outside, be in a casual environment, still have a nice meal. And even some of the nicer restaurants have put outside tables. And again, I think that's, we ate at Clancy's a couple weeks ago, which is my wife's favorite neighborhood restaurant, truly a terrific restaurant. They had outdoor tables, which they had never had before. I don't think I would be sitting there again in July, but you know, in late April, it was fine. And so lots of those kind of things to take into account. So there is that, because I'm still getting questions, people saying, hey, look, you know, I know there's no mask mandate. I know there's no requirements anymore, but are there places I can find if I want to eat outside? And the answer is yes, there's more than ever. And number seven, and I realize, look, I've been up and down here. I'm talking about crime. I'm talking about Airbnbs. I'm talking about some things that, you know, are not great. And at the same time, we've talked about outdoor dining and we've talked about festival season, those sorts of things. I kind of wanted to end this on why this is still a great time to visit. And I think it is. I think as we get into the start of the summer, you do have to deal with the heat a little bit, but you get price breaks on hotels, maybe on Airbnbs. You know, I've seen some people recently post in the Facebook group about the price of hotels, and certainly because we have French Quarter Fest and Jazz Fest, as we get beyond those, you start to get into summer specials. I know Marie, again, my wife, is really good about posting when she sees specials, posting them in the Facebook group. Again, one of the Old 77 had been a longtime sponsor. They post a lot of deals in the summer. The Eliza Jane is another one that comes to mind. Certainly, if you have points and want to stay at a major hotel, that's available to you. But I think, so maybe you get a price break. The crowds start to not be as big as they are like right now with Jazz Fest. But as I mentioned, there's terrific festivals. I mentioned just a handful, but there's plenty. There's the Second Lines, the Wednesdays at the Square. I can't overstate how much fun that is, and that's free. City Park is as great as ever. In fact, we've done two episodes about City Park, but they were years ago, and City Park has a new director. I'm going to get her on the show in the next 2 months or so. I love City Park. I think it is just as good as it's ever been. When you combine all the outdoor activities along with the New Orleans Museum of Art located there in the middle, the accessibility on the streetcar, some of the things that have happened around it in terms of walking and biking paths, Bayou St. John, its access to Esplanade Avenue, just lots of things right around it. I love City Park. Obviously, or maybe not obviously, there are tons of live oak trees, so there's shade even when it's hot. I think it's a great time to go and experience City Park. The streetcars, of course, a couple of them have routes that are still interrupted, so you can check that at norta.org, N-O-R-T-A. But streetcars, you know, really fun thing to do, really great way to see the city. I did an episode a while back. I think it was called 50 Free or Nearly Free Things to Do. Those all still exist. I was looking at that list the other day. So again, I think it's a affordable time, if you will, to come to the city. And it's not yet the heat of the summer. So you kind of get the breaks as we start to get into summertime in terms of, you know, maybe some financial breaks. Maybe rooms are a little bit easier to get, but you still can get out and enjoy a ton of things. It's snowball season. We have already been to Hanson Snow Blizz three times, I think. Again, inexpensive and delicious on a hot day. Incidentally, at Jazz Fest, there's two snowball vendors, including one of our favorites, Plum Street Snowballs, excuse me. So that's a good time. Again, another plug, you can explore using my book as a guide and kind of pick out the things that you want to do. It's a good time to come to the city and also get out of the city, to go on a swamp tour with Jessica Gawley over at Honey Island Swamp Tours, to do city tours with Two Chicks, NOLA Architecture, or my friend Elizabeth Pierce at Drink and Learn. It's a good time to take a trip out to Avery Island and McElhenney to see where Tabasco is made. Again, we've done episodes on all or most of those things. So I think it's really, particularly as we come off Jazz Fest, you know, the city kind of takes a breather. We don't stop with the festivals, but that's the, you know, obviously Jazz Fest is this huge event. French Quarter Fest had something like 800,000 people. So you get beyond that and it starts to be a little bit more accessible. So, you know, if you had looked at prices and thought, oh my gosh, you'll start to see that hopefully be a little bit more affordable. And yet there's a ton of things to do. And this is a good time of year. Again, it's warm. I keep saying that. But it's not like it's going to be in August and September. Those, if you can stand the heat, is a great time to come. because it is hot, and that does sort of drive some people away, and you get the best deals. And at the same time, again, you can mix and match and spend time indoors and outdoors pretty easily. You know, stuff in the city's pretty compact, so it's not bad at all to say spend an hour walking around and then duck into a museum or a boutique or something like that, or a place to get a drink. You know, those are seven things that are on my mind. They're kind of disjointed, but they are really the result of getting questions from you. I get a lot of DMs, you know, and emails and things saying, hey, I don't know if I want to post this in the group, but here's my question. I also see in the group topics that have been front of mind, or Airbnbs, COVID protocols, a little bit about crime. So I wanted to take a time and just kind of give you the good and the bad, and again, kind of the state of where we are in New Orleans. And as I do so often, I think the best example I can give you is that with all of what I've just talked about for 40 minutes, Marie and I continue to live in the heart of the city with 10-year-old twin girls. We continue to live. We go out. We do a lot of stuff. If you follow me or follow the group, you see me out and about. You know from the podcast, I'm doing a lot of stuff. You know, we're just aware. We're aware of the rules. We're aware of the crime. We pay attention. We try to adhere to the same things that we suggest for you. But we live our lives, and we live our lives with the children. You know, we live in New Orleans for a reason. We love the city. We think that the culture and the opportunities to expose our kids to things and to enjoy our lives offset some of the things, or some of the challenges of living in a big city. New Orleans does not have the best infrastructure, so as a resident, sometimes it is frustrating, frankly, with potholes and city services and all those things. And at the same time, if you choose to live here, if you choose to visit here, it's about making the most of the life, right? And there are so many terrific things to experience. You know, that for us, that calculus is that we don't want to make light of the seriousness of the issues in the city. And at the same time, we love the best that the city has to offer. We get out and enjoy it, and we would encourage you to do the same. One last reminder, consider purchasing a copy of my new travel book, An Insider's Guide to New Orleans. It's packed with tips and things you'll want to know. You can find it online at all major retailers. Bookshop.org is more of an indie site. You have Barnes & Noble, you have Amazon, Thrift Books. I know it's available through Target. Locally, it's available at the Garden District Bookshop, at Octavia Books, Blue Cypress Books, the OW, which again is owned by one of our sponsors, The Occasional Wife. It's located at 2850 Magazine Street. It is not a bookstore, but they were gracious enough to purchase 100 copies. So I know that they have copies in stock, and that's a pretty easy to access location. And of course, you can order online as well. People have asked about book signings. We still have to figure that out. I was so focused on trying to get to the publication date, which was officially May 1st. We're also going to come up with nameplates where I can sign and send you a nameplate that you can stick inside your book if you've ordered it online. So more to come on that. This was a long-term project. Again, you can hear all about it in episode 157. We're really excited. James Cullen, who did a lot of the photography, and I, we're excited to have this out in the world. You know, I would encourage you to pick up a copy and let me know what you think of it. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the girls to close us out.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.